It's time!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am your host. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore. I write about them. I talk about them. I do all I can with them. Joining me, as always, in studio is a member of the POU football team. He plays wide receiver. He wears number 7. His name is Kellen Westring. Kellen, how are you feeling today?
Christian, Lacey, Drew, I'm feeling old today. Oh. You know, I think every time I get out of bed, about 10 bones crack. Last night, I'm at Half Price Apps. I can barely get out of my chair. It's hard getting out of cars. I'm just so old. My ankle's busted. I got to tape it every practice. Hamstrings are wrapped. Lower back issues. It's the grind. It's the grind. Lacey's 21. Drew's 21. Christian's 21. It's funny, last night, we had about 15 emails at Applebee's. And we got sophomores that are 19, and they're like, oh, I'm so sore. And I'm like, guys, you don't know the half of it. Wait about 3 more years when you're a fifth-year senior, if you get to that point, and you'll realize how sore you really are.
All right. Also joining me in studio, as always, she is a member of the POU basketball team. She plays forward and wears number 44. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you today?
Well, Kellen, just to piggyback off that, I remember last season as a junior when I was starting to feel it more and more after every practice. It's like, oh, wow, I'm not used to this. I'm a little sore. And I would tell my mom, and she would just laugh at me. She's like, you don't know what being sore and being old is. So I think we have it bad now. Let's just wait till we hit our 40s and 50s.
And here's the one thing. We probably shouldn't take it for granted. We should be lucky that we feel this soreness, because a lot of people would trade anything to be back in our shoes or cleats, if you will, in this situation. But I feel like I got my Oscar Slaughter might be coming back from junior high, Christian.
I had that too. Struggle. anyways, I'm doing great. We started up practice on Saturday, so it's been fun rolling with that, and I am very sore. So, yeah, it's been
excellent.
Fun.
Another athlete in studio, as always. He's another member of the POU basketball team. He is a point forward, wearing number 32, Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you?
I'm hurting pretty bad, not going to lie. It's a freshman, sophomore year. Didn't really spend a lot of time in the training room. Didn't really do a lot of treatment. Didn't really need to. And then these last 2 years, man, ice bath after every practice, compression work all the time. I feel old, man. I feel like I can't. Getting up in the morning is a struggle. Getting out of cars is a struggle. Kellen hit it right on the head. And I mean, Kellen, you've been here doing it a year longer. So I don't know how I'd be feeling right now if I was you. But as far as basketball goes, basketball has been great. We've been practicing super early. It's because Coach Dickerson gets up at 4:30 in the morning and considers that sleeping in. Mm-hmm. So we've been practicing super early lately and been great, getting some great workouts in. Things look up for the men's basketball team. We're not going to surprise anybody this year. We surprised everyone last year, so we'll see what happens. But it's a group of really good guys, and we're excited.
Folks, first off, thank you for listening. Very, very blessed to have you listening. We want to remind those of you who are listening that most of the stories we'll be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We want to hear from our listeners. We still have not had our first caller of the show. Actually, last week we did. My mother called in. Wasn't quite ready to be on the air yet. We'll see if she's ready today. But please feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to call is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right, let's get it going here with some POU football. Objectively, last weekend's game against Whitworth was a great football game. POU had drawn a 41-24 lead with 11:45 left in the game. But that high-powered Whitworth offense, we previewed it last week, they got extremely aggressive and pulled off a come-from-behind win at Sparks Stadium on Saturday. POU, though, had many, many big plays in that game. Lacey, which big play from Saturday was your favorite?
Well, I wasn't able to make the first half of the game, which I heard there was lots of excitement going on there on the scoring end. But I was able to be at the second half, and I'm probably going to steal all of your guys' big play, but that's why I'm going first. I'm going to have to go with Carson Ketter's pick six early in the fourth quarter. It was a 93-yard pick, and he also had 16 tackles on the game. So it was a big game for him, and I think at that point the fans were kind of sitting back, getting relaxed. The score was 41-24 in the early fourth quarter, and unfortunately we sat back too early. Mm-hmm. And I think I can speak for the fans and maybe the players there.
All right, very, very, very nice. Carson, it was a big play. Drew, what was your favorite big play?
Lace, that was the Uncle Mo play. That was when the momentum shifted. I thought that game was in the bag on that pick six. Mm-hmm. But I like the set-the-tone play for the offense right out of the gate, led by our very own Kellen Westring here mm-hmm. in studio, who got two TDs this weekend, and that was first 70-yard touchdown reception. Just remember, all you quarterbacks, a little yak never hurt you. Kellen made life easy there and got the Lutes out to a nice lead, and it was good to see Kellen get in the end zone a few times, let me tell you.
Yeah, it was. Kellen, what was your favorite play from the weekend? That wasn't your own, maybe.
Cool.
I did that so you couldn't do that, by the way.
Come on, guys.
So you couldn't be like, yes, my play was my favorite big play.
You know I was not going to go there. I love when players do things that are unexpected. And John Schaub had about a 6-yard scamper in the end zone. We went 5 wide. And again, Whitworth knows that John Schaub, number 9, is not going to run the ball. It's going to be Cole Chandler, number 6. And so John Schaub gets the ball, and it was a design run. Great call. And it was a check by John. So again, it all runs through him, and he gets in the end zone. And that was our first touchdown of the game. And if you remember, it was about 4th and 16 before that play, 2 plays earlier, actually. And we run this play called Florida, another great play call. And Bo Lochmer makes a great catch to complete that 4th down. John Schaub kind of runs a little bit to the right, throws it to Bowen on a perfect line, and we get a 1st down. So 4th and 16 is a big-time backbreaker for a defensive coordinator if you're mm-hmm. Whitworth. Mm-hmm. So for us to complete that 4th down, and then for Job, again, coming off an ACL, but to stay competitive and to put the ball in the end zone was big time. Again, it wasn't a 70-yard touchdown play or it wasn't a pick six, but it's a little thing that he normally doesn't do. So it was awesome to see John do that.
I was waiting for John to give the little point, to give the little point.
Oh, the Jake Browning.
The Jake Browning point.
He didn't quite have that much room
on the way on the way in the end zone.
He was falling down in the end zone. But I was
Again, there were plenty of big plays on Saturday. If you got time, go back and watch that game because it was such a good football game. Now, I got to ask the question, was Saturday a case of Whitworth's offense being just that good, meaning that they came back from 17 points down in the fourth quarter? Are they just that good? Or did the POU defense get exposed a little bit for not being as good as the numbers say they are? Remember, they entered Saturday's game allowing just 12 points a game. They gave up 41. I mean, what was the situation on Saturday?
I don't think you can go either way of saying Whitworth's offense is incredible or POU's defense is horrible. I think Whitworth, you got to give them credit. They buckled down at the end of the game and finished the game. I think they had the momentum on that last drive, so that helps too. But the Lutes defense is great, and if you look at the numbers, you can't really argue with the stats there. And I think we saw a similar ending in San Antonio with the Lutes when it was the fourth quarter and the team came down and scored on the Lutes late in the game. So I'm not sure if it's a mental thing, because you know they're good enough to finish these football games. I'm not sure if
they being who?
The Lutes defense.
Okay.
So in my opinion, I think it's a mindset thing, and that can be an easy fix. That's something where you just have to come together and at the end of the game, know you're a talented defense and look each other in the eyes and say, this team is not going to score on us right now. That's good.
A little bit of a gut check right there. Drew, what do you think? Was Whitworth that good, or was the POU defense maybe not as good as we thought they were?
I just think that the POU philosophy going into that fourth quarter and defensive coaching got exposed. Even though they were playing the number one offense in the country, they had them beat. I didn't understand where the switch flipped defensively and offensively in terms of decision making. Then they just became one-dimensional trying to run the clock out. I don't understand. Everybody and their mother knows when Cole Chandler's coming in, it's 80-20 run pass. When you take John out of the game, you take away the ability to put the ball in the air. I know it's risky coming down the clock to put the ball in the air, but you got 2 touchdowns on the board, throw the ball. Then the defense went to their dime defense where they only have 1 down lineman with pretty much with his hand in the grass and 2 end speed rushers off the edge and a plethora of DBs. The only problem is that once you have that defense out there with Whitworth spread no huddle style, you can't get that package off the field. So it works for a down. Then Whitworth's offensive coordinator, who is not dumb, saw what PLU was doing and decided he was going to run gap zone and gap draw until the cows come home. Ladies and gentlemen, what does prevent mean? It means you are going to prevent yourself from winning. It was like the flipping Trinity game all over again. It was like a bad movie that HBO overplays or a bad song that's overplayed in the radio.
So that's two people who've mentioned kind of maybe a trend here, which is tough to say. We saw it against Trinity. We see it again against Whitworth, that PLU defense can't close it out. Kellen, you're an offensive player for the PLU football team, but what are your thoughts from Saturday?
Well, it's definitely a hard pill to swallow. Anytime you lose a close game, very, very frustrating. You kind of go to bed thinking, well, what could I have done differently? I truly believe Whitworth is just that good. I mean, the number one offense in the country for a reason. DeGaetano, their running back, who's leading the Northwest Conference in touchdowns, second in the nation in touchdowns, ran for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns on 26 carries,
wow,
which was 6.1 yards per carry. Also caught 9 passes for 52 yards, finishing with 211 all-purpose yards in the game. And on that last drive, Duke ran about 6 times for 55 yards on the final game-winning drive. And it's just so tough because if Whitworth had about a minute left, all they could do is pass. But they had about, I think it was like 2:37 when they got the football, so they could run the football. And they did very well. And like we were caught in dime. We couldn't use the timeout because we wanted that if they were to score for the offense. And so it was just so frustrating because they ate us up there. I mean, we're like Drew said, we're in prevent, and we got guys that are 180 pounds on D-line who are extremely quick, but their linemen are just going to press us and give Duke the ball up the middle. And then Ian Colsey, who's a great quarterback for Whitworth, completed 47 of 65 passes for 386 yards with 2 touchdowns and 1 big-time pick-six. But again, the Pirates average 47 points a game and just over 400 yards of offensive game, which is number one in the country. And so, again, these guys are big time, and they in my opinion, out-schemed our defense.
Kellen, may I ask, was was there a conversation on the sideline had about taking a timeout there when they started driving, running that A-gap draw and that A-gap zone run? Like, was there a conversation had?
Right. I'm on the left side of the field, so I can't quite answer that, honestly, because I'm not sure what was said. All the offensive guys are kind of down on one field where the defense is on the other. We're kind of still scheming if we get the ball, what are we going to do, 2 minutes, stuff like that. Uh-huh. But it's an interesting question, Drew. It'd be interesting to kind of talk to some of the coaches on the defensive staff. But again, you got to give all the credit to Whitworth. They really schemed us well on that last drive.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about our heroes from Saturday's game. Who's everybody's hero from the game against Whitworth?
I'll kick it off here. Carson Ketter. For me, I think it's an easy hero to say, but he really is the hero of the game. Like Lacey mentioned earlier, he had 16 tackles and a big-time pick six that went 93 yards. He's a track guy, so everybody's yelling, "They're not going to catch him," which was so true. Was a big momentum play in the game, like Drew mentioned, Uncle Mo. But again, not to give Whitworth too much credit because I don't want to, but you got to respect the way that Ian Colsey responded. I mean, after throwing a pick six, after being down 17 with 11 minutes left, clearly, they didn't shy away from throwing the football again. So you got to give a lot of credit to the Pirate offense and that whole team in general for staying, keeping their head above water and never giving up.
There you go. Drew, who is your hero?
I hate to do this. Gosh, I hate to do this. But I have to. It's Kellen Westring. PLU runs an offense not predicated on take what the defense gives you, because if they did, it wouldn't look the way it does. But they run on a big play offense. And Kel, I love you, bud, and you made big plays. 143 yards, 2 touchdowns, did it with only 8 touches. I mean, that's crazy. 143 yards.
Quick question. Why do you hate to do that?
I just, because it's Kellen. Because it's Kellen. I just hate to do it.
I like that. I love to do that.
Yeah. I can't. It just pains me inside to do it. Because we disagree so much on football and on the show. It's just like, when I have to give the guy credit, it just kind of hurts.
Okay.
Fair. It hurts me in my soul.
I see where you're coming from now.
All right, Lacey, who's your hero?
Guys, I have to go with Nolan Hoover. Ooh. And for those listeners out there, you might not even know who he is because he never sees the field. He's a sophomore, fourth-string quarterback, and he is a great human being. He is high energy, and what made me notice him this weekend is I was at the game with my parents, and my mom looks over at me and she goes, "Who's that goofy-looking kid jumping up and down with his helmet off?" And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Nolan, like one of my best friends here at PLU. And I think it's players like that that really get you through the tough games, because you can really just kind of sit back and think, wow, like for Kellen, you play that entire game and you're bummed at the end, but you have a player that probably is not going to see the field the entire season and is just high energy and he's there for you. And those are the type of players that I just love watching, and his excitement on the sidelines is just incredible.
All right, I'm going to take both POU quarterbacks. Let's stay on that theme of quarterbacks here. I really think that regardless if you know what's coming when each quarterback is on the field, it's worked extremely well for POU. The two quarterbacks being John Schaub and Cole Chandler combined to go 18 for 24 for 250 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. They also combined to for 55 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns on the ground. So that's 6 touchdowns from 2 different quarterbacks. It's different, but it's working right now for POU.
It's effective. And I think, you know, the longer we play, the better we get. That's a theme for PLU football. I think we're beginning to get used to the 2 quarterback system. I know Drew is not going to fall in love with it. He's not going to become Facebook official with it. But hey, it's starting to grow a little bit. And I think, again, once Cole's arm is beginning to become more effective, you know, it's going to be really tough to stop. I don't think, and I think Lacey would, even though, you know, she's a little bit biased here, John's never going to become a runner. We know that. But he has, again, I've said this before on the air, one of the most accurate arms I've ever seen. And so I think, again, it's that mesh where both quarterbacks are going to play the first half. Whoever has the hot hand, we're going to go with in the second half. Mm-hmm. There's been times where sometimes it feel like, you know, it's so much even. But again, when you can run the clock, when you can win the time of possession, that's when Cole comes in, Drew. But again, as I know for me as a receiver at times, it's like when John is there, we know we can go deep. We know we can run, you know, we know we can run our passing plays like we have all year. But again, it's a two-edged sword. So again, we're still figuring it out. Got 4 games left in the season, Lord willing more. So we'll see what happens.
For the record, Callan, I wouldn't even date the 2 quarterback system. Not even one. Not even a first date. Wow. Not even a first date.
You wouldn't even have a fling with him?
No.
You'd give her the read receipt.
Not even a fling. I'd read it, not respond.
That's fair. Coming from a former quarterback yourself. So.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, it's time for Lacey's Lutes. Lacey talked to a member of the POU men's soccer team. Find out who that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show and talk to us a little bit, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Lacey, who'd you talk to this week?
I had the opportunity to talk to Tyler Bennett. He is a senior on the men's soccer team. And if any of you guys know this guy, he is just kind of the energizer bunny. He reminds me a lot of my sister. He's one of those people that just like can't not be doing something. If that makes sense. He can't be sitting still. He's always working, whether it's to make himself better as a player or helping out other people, and that is just what he did this summer.
So here it is, Lacey and Tyler Bennett.
I am here with Tyler Bennett. He is a senior on the PLU men's soccer team.
Tyler, before we get into anything, I just want to ask you about a game you guys just came off of against Willamette where you scored the game-winning goal,
yeah.
Which is really exciting. Could you just kind of like paint a picture of how that happened? What time was it in the game and how exciting that was for you?
Right, right. So this is during the whole stormy weather weekend and like in this game, late in the game, 83rd minute, we're just grinding it out. It's a real tough game and like the ball is down in our end, in our defensive half, and we countered out. And Eddie took the ball up the line. He's super fast. So I started on my own 18. I had to just belt it down the field. And just like, I had the wind in my back, so it felt easy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going fast. But then, like, he just put like a perfect ball in, and I really just had to tap it in. And I'm just like, yes! Like, I'm so glad I put it in.
And that was your first goal of the season?
Of the season, yeah, definitely. Okay. Usually I play like midfield or defense, so I don't really get to shoot very often. So
yeah.
100% shooting on the year, that's a pretty good percentage, so I'll take that.
That's really good. That's awesome. I was actually able to see a Snapchat video of it.
Oh, yeah.
On someone's story. It was Julia's, but yeah, that was pretty cool to see.
Too. Watched that a few times, not gonna lie.
Okay, so what are you studying here at PLU?
Oh, I'm an econ major and a business minor. Okay. I used to be environmental studies, but I kind of switched out of that. But I do plan to go back to it, so, yeah.
And then, so tell us a little bit, the reason I'm interviewing you is because I heard about kind of the summer you had and what you did over the summer. So can you kind of just take us through what you did?
The summer, yeah. So I kind of wanted to switch things up from my normal summer. Like I just wanted to do something that I love to do, which is soccer. So I just filled up my schedule with everything soccer related. I did my usual reffing on the weekends, which pays pretty well. Plus I love it and I get to, you know, hobnob with all my old coaches from different clubs and my own club too. And I coached a U17 Crossfire team. It wasn't my team, but I helped coach. He asked me to come in a couple times a week and just kind of run training for him, which was really fun. And besides that, I had like a couple personal trainees that I trained. They were kind of going into their season and wanted to sharpen up their skills. And I'm like, yeah, I'll help you out. No worries. And then I worked at Soccer West, too, like on the retail side of the game, which is super fun because it was in my hometown and near my home club of Crossfire. So people would come in with all sorts of questions, like not even related to just the merchandise in the store, and I'd just be able to answer anything and just strike up conversations with the people about the game, which I love doing. So I had a lot of fun doing that. And besides that, I really just kind of played, you know, trying to sharpen up my own skills, get my touch going into the season because, you know, we come into PLU preseason like August 16th, which is super early. Mm-hmm. So I had to get going as much as I could. So, yeah, just soccer all summer.
Yeah, sounds like it. So Soccer West is the retail store, and that's located in Redmond.
Yeah.
And you're from Redmond. So did you live mostly there this summer? Were you on campus? Were you able to see some of your teammates? What was that like?
I pretty much stayed in Redmond most of the summer. I came and visited a couple times here in Tacoma or Parkland, but yeah, most of the time I spent in Redmond. I mean, it was really convenient. The location's like literally right down the street from my house in downtown Redmond, booming area, so it was kind of fun. Like, it's favorable for me to stay there, especially with all the reffing and the coaching I was doing. It's kind of all in the same area, so I tried to stay there as much as I could. But there's a Soccer West in Tacoma too, so I transferred, so I'm working there right now. Just once a week with the scheduling, but yeah.
Awesome. And you said you were able to ref some games. Did you ref older people, younger people? What was that like?
Yeah, so I refed from ages like to U8 up to over 40. Like, I just all over the spectrum. It's really different. Like, the U8, you really have to teach them to play. Like, they don't really know. That's the age where they kind of cluster up. Just run around the ball and just like kick. It's kind of cute to watch, but it's just like, oh my gosh, this is not soccer yet. So like literally I'd be out on the field just like basically coaching as a ref. Like I'd whisper in a kid's ear, like, you should probably stay right here, you're gonna get the ball. And then they'd get it and go down and score. I'm like, I told you, like, yes. But then on the other side, like the older guys, like the like over 40 and what have you, even there was like an 8-year-old out there. I was impressed by that, but they pretty much like ref themselves, like they'll be yelling at you like, oh, this was our ball. I'm like, it really wasn't, but you're mad. Like, so it's kind of fun. I mean, those pay really well, too, because the league knows that no refs like to do those games. Mm-hmm. So, but it's fun. Like, it's local league games for me. As long as it's part of the game, I'm enjoying it. So, yeah.
And as far as Crossfire, that was your team growing up. Did you play for them all through your youth?
Yeah, so that was my first premier team that I played for. I started at U12. I played there all the way to U18. And I had, like, a ton of different coaches there. Like, for some reason, the turnover for coaches for my team was, like, 1.5 years, which is good and bad. Like, we got a lot of different types of coaches and coaching styles coming in, which, for me, I want to become a coach. And I have a lot of different styles to draw from, which, so I liked it. But also, all those coaches are still in the area, or they've moved on to become coaching directors or moved on to different clubs. So in Redmond, there's like this soccer complex called 60 Acres with like a ton of fields, like 28, I think. And they come from all around, and I see them, and I just kind of catch up with them, and I'm like, oh, you're at this club now? Like, I'm trying to become a coach. Like, do you have any openings? Like, yeah, we do. And then I'll go to another guy, like, oh, you're at that club now? I'm trying to become a coach. Like, you have any openings? Like, yeah. So I've been talking to like 3 different clubs, and they all kind of want to kind of compete to have me as a coach, but hopefully compete. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes. I've just been trying to build a network, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you were surrounded by soccer like all summer. How were you able to squeeze in time for yourself in developing your own skill there?
Yeah, so I didn't sleep much. Yeah, I was like, I pretty much wake up in the morning like 9 o'clock. And just go straight to the park. I had this close friend of mine who I was fortunate enough that he just wanted to help me train. So just whatever. I had a bunch of cones. I got a bunch of balls. And we got a ton of parks and fields like close to my house. So we just go in the morning. Just kind of kick around. And like I have a bunch of drills that I think up and I've drawn from my past coaches. So it's not like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not playing on a team. I'm kind of just doing my own stuff. But as like the technical player that I am, like that's kind of what I prefer to do. Mm-hmm. And I use my imagination to make a game like, but that can only go so far. So what was cool, there's a guy in my high school who has got a turf field in his backyard, and he had put on pickup games from like 8:30 to 11:30 twice a week. And like all the Soccer West employees, we all became friends, and we're all from the Redmond area, like all Redmond alums. So we'd all just go over to his backyard and play pickup soccer after work. So I got some playing time in, but I mean, it's not the same as it is here at PLU, but I mean, it's touches nonetheless, so yeah.
That's awesome.
Thankful for that.
And so you kind of got to broaden your soccer network, I guess. Is coaching is something you want to do in the future? Do you want to stay in this local area since you got to know a lot of people? What does your future look like after PLU?
Let's see. I'm going to stick with the reffing for sure. I'm going to try to become a coach at whatever club I can. I want to, you know, I already have a coaching license. I'm going to build on that and get, there's like different levels of coaching licenses that you can get. I'm going to keep trying to go up in that. And I want to coach at a premier level, at a club level. I want to stay kind of at Crossfire because I know like so many people within the club already. And I know, like, the president of Lake Washington Youth Soccer Association. I know, like, the chief financial accountant of Crossfire, who her son is an alumni of here, too. Mm-hmm. The Mineos. Yeah, we're recruiting their young one right now. And, I mean, whatever I can do, really, mm-hmm. in the soccer world. I kind of want to work for the Sounders in the MLS. That's going to be, like, probably, like, a 5-year dream of mine. Like, mm-hmm. I want to kind of just build up in the soccer career, just build my foundation, all these different types of jobs, just kind of come at it from whatever angle. And, like, I want to stay in the retail business, Soccer West. Like, I already kind of have, like, a manager job set up with them. They're kind of playing around because they got, like, 6 locations, but they're always kind of getting new managers. They're in a weird situation right now, but it kind of opens up a door for me right there. So, I mean, I got options. I'm going to like it no matter what it is because it involves soccer. So
yeah.
I'll be happy.
Yeah,
so.
It sounds like you're set. I grew up playing Arsenal, so so you say Crossfire and I just have to cringe a little. I'm like, nope, it's not the right team. Anyways, so you guys are heading to Eastern Washington this weekend to play Whitman and Whitworth. What are you expecting out of those games?
We expect a win is what we expect. But we know it's gonna be tough. Whitman is probably the easier of the two teams for us. We didn't have the best result against them last time here, but that was kind of a fluke. In our minds, we're a much better team than that. So we do expect to win out of the women game. Whitworth, on the other hand, is a whole different story. They're traditionally like top of the league almost every single year. Their style of play is just way different than anybody else. They like to just spread the field out, just pass as much as you can and make you come chase the ball and get it off them, which is tough because they use their keeper not as a keeper but as like another defender and another field player. So it's essentially, I mean, yeah, it's 11v11, but it is 10v10 if you have the goalkeepers, but they make it 11v10. Mm-hmm. So we just know that we're going to have to play our game, and which is kind of a high press on defense and very counterattacking. So once we get the ball, like, we're going to go to goal. And we have the players to do that. Like, Eddie Na, he's been phenomenal for us this year. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look to punish those guys on the counter, definitely. But we also know that we have to win out to have a chance to take the league this year. So mm-hmm. We're coming off some good momentum with a few wins under our belt.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what we can do.
Awesome. Okay, well, good luck to you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Tyler Lacey. Great job, as always. Shout out to Soccer West. There's a store near you, right by Tacoma Mall. So, folks, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we will see if I can keep my championship belt for the second week in a row, as we are going to be playing Name That Loot. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Ice depends on water. That's why the NHL is teamed with the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're conserving the water we use and helping to safeguard its future. Because Earth's most valuable resource is pure, clean water. Preferably frozen. Join the team at NHL/green and NRDC.org/sports.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I am joined by Kellen Westring. He wears number 7. He plays on the football team. Also joined by Lacey Nicholson. She wears 44. She plays for the women's basketball team. And finally, Drew Artisoni, number 32 on the men's basketball team. Is everybody ready for this whole Name That Loot thing?
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, okay. So this week we've incorporated buzzers for our participants. Drew Artisoni, let me hear yours, please. Excellent. That's Drew. Kellen? Nice, nice. All right, Lacey, what do you got? Is that a cat?
Wow.
Okay, here we go. This first person had 7 carries for 39 yards. They also had 2 catches for 42 yards.
Oh, my goodness. That's
rough. I was first.
No way.
No way.
I was
Christian.
First.
No way.
Hey. Somebody call into the show.
Lacey, go ahead and try.
Oh, my God.
Darren Hardgrove.
Darren Hardgrove is. That is the correct answer.
That's poor. Hit that first.
Lacey is on the board. On the board. Nice job, Lacey. All right, let's move on. Next person. This person had 3 catches for 18 yards. That was the cat.
That was me.
Lacey got it again.
Okay, there was 2 guys with 3 catches. I'm going to go with Ben Welch.
That is incorrect.
Dang it. It's Lynn.
Let's go to Drew. Who do you got?
Why?
Who is Justin Lind?
I heard the elephant. Justin Lind is your answer?
Wait, if we get out of...
I think...
There it is.
Christian, bless your heart. I think Hein is in studio, folks, which is awesome. If we had Periscope, you could see him. But I think Hein should be the one that agrees who is the winner here, because I think, Christian, you got a lot of things going on as a producer, which we're thankful for. But
Hein
has got the better
losing
point of view. I mean, I have been first every time.
It is getting
false.
Hold on, listen. The point of view doesn't matter. I am listening for the sound.
But okay? Hein can
why
see.
That's why we incorporated buzzers.
You don't need to see anything.
I don't have to see. I have to hear. So maybe a suggestion, get the volume up a little bit on your buzzer. Get it closer to the mic so I can hear yours louder than anyone else's.
I don't like being told what to do.
I know. It's rough. All right. This person had 175 all-purpose yards. That is the Dolphin for sure. Kellen, who is your answer?
Mark Gallant.
That answer is... That is correct. Nice job, Kellen.
I have a clarifying question.
Yes.
Do we have to wait for you to finish the stat line?
You do not have to wait.
Okay.
You can let it rip as soon as you think I could... I can't even... I don't even have to finish. Like, just... You got buzzers now. Go for it.
Okay.
This person had 16 tackles. That's the Dolphin.
Who is Carson Ketter?
Let's see. That is correct, Carson Ketter. So now,
Christian, I believe
what is going on now?
Christian, I believe it was 17 tackles.
How was it 17?
Because I think one got touted John Shaw by mistake, didn't it? Isn't that a statistic?
That is correct.
So minus one is 16.
I think it may have been 17 tackles.
Here's the deal.
I'm just trying to give Carson his.
All right, that's fair.
Here's the deal. Mark Albanese, if you're listening, focus up when you're doing those stats on Saturdays, okay? Mark. So we don't have mistakes.
Don't blame Mark. It's his first year. He's a rookie.
I don't know that he's a rookie or not. Mark Albanese, sports information director here at PLU. That's him, okay? Here we go. 11 tackles and 2 pass breakups. That's the Dolphin again, and he's sitting right behind me. I don't know how to do this. Kellen, who's your answer?
Can you say the stats one more time?
Hi.
11 passes.
11 tackles, 2 pass breakups.
That's who is Tanner Perry, number 13?
Number 13. Incorrect. Okay, all right.
If you go to Lacey, I'll kill you. I will come across.
Drew, who do you got?
Who is Derek Chase?
Very nice. Drew's on the board.
Dude, I have 2. What do you mean I'm on the board?
On the board again then, fine. Jeez. Okay.
Dang it.
Here we go. This person, 9 tackles. Okay, Lacey? Lacey? Slow down.
I'm just saying I'm next. If she doesn't.
Who is Tanner Perry?
Tanner Perry. Let's see. That is correct. Tanner Perry. Are we all knotted up at 2 here, everyone? Very nice. Next person. Stop it. Stop. All right, go for it, Drew. Drew, who you got?
I just wanted to make clarification if I checked this because I knew that applied to 2 people. That also applies to Casey Reuther.
Well, here's the deal.
There's 2 people who had just had 9 solo tackles.
Okay, what do you want, a cookie?
Tom.
Well, yeah, but time out. There's more than one answer to that question is what
do
I'm saying.
Do you have your stat sheet open?
I know, I just looked at it.
Okay,
look,
all
just
right.
I went to it.
Okay. That's against the rules. Let's close all the stat sheets
okay,
and box
Okay, Bill Belichick, come on, bud.
Here we go. If you're going to buzz before I'm finished, anything goes.
I was buzzing for attention.
Fair. That was fair.
So I also have Tanner Perry, 9 tackles, 1 sack for a loss of 10 yards. Does that apply to Casey Reuther?
No, it doesn't.
There we go. So Lacey was running the risk.
Drew might. I think you get minus 1 for that, bud.
I think you're bitter
I think we should move
you're
on.
Not winning the football segment.
Oh, my
Actually,
goodness.
It's tied. So if you do soccer terms.
The next person had 3 tackles. And a half sack for a loss of 5 yards. The Dolphin.
Who is Mo Rodriguez?
Is that it?
Mo Rodriguez is correct.
Wow.
Nice job, Kellen.
Good job.
It's a tough one to get. This person had 2 tackles, half a sack for a loss of 6 yards. The Dolphin again.
Who is the other number 7, Wyatt Shelley?
The other number 7. Man, Kellen Westring pulling away late here.
Jeez.
All right.
Just got to get to soccer. We just got to get to soccer without
That's
Kellen
That's the end
five.
Of football.
Thank
okay.
the Lord.
All right, here we go.
Can you go over the scores real quick, Christian, for those that are scoring at home? Thanks,
Mom. I think you have 4, Kellen.
4-2-2.
Yeah, it's 4-2.
The rest are tied at 2.
So 2 times. Oh, that means I'm twice ahead of you. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Even under 5.
It's getting competitive in here.
Let's just wait for basketball season.
Ooh. Yeah. This person.
Who is Kevin Durant?
What?
Sorry.
That's wrong. Kellen's out of this question.
Oh, come
Ooh,
on, Christian.
Yes.
Come on, have
yes,
some fun.
That's what you get.
Jeez.
I had started my answer, my question.
They let
Kellen,
the inmates run the asylum.
Kellen, you're out. Kellen has no answer here. This person was the Northwest Conference Defensive Player of the Week. That's the Cat.
This is a volleyball player. No. Oh, I can see your face. No, it's a soccer player?
Yes.
Oh, then
whoa,
it's Takara.
Whoa, whoa,
it's Takara.
Whoa.
Takara is the answer.
Woo!
Incorrect.
Wait. Oh, incorrect. I thought you just said.
I took Takara as your answer and ran with it.
Oh.
Stop!
It's a zoo
I
in
hear
here.
It. I totally hear it, Drew. Who is the answer?
Who's Jack Rose?
Wow.
Jack Rose is the answer. POU men's goalkeeper.
Okay.
He won defensive
That's
player.
That's an asterisk. Is Westring was out of that one.
What?
What?
He says he won an asterisk because Kellen was disqualified from that question for interrupting you.
You get here. We go. All right. Drew has 3. Kellen has 4. Lacey has 2. This person had a game-winning goal against Willamette. That's the Cat.
Who is Tyler Bennett?
There it is.
Yep.
I hope you got that one. You just talked to him. You did just talk to him.
Yeah, I snuck that one in there, seeing if everyone was paying attention. It's a close game here. A couple questions left. This person had 2 goals against Linfield. That's the cat. Lacey?
Who is Eddie Na?
Eddie Na. Incorrect. Sadly. You never know.
Yeah, that's...
That's the tough one.
No,
there's
I didn't hit it.
Give me a guess. Someone hit their buzzer. That's the Dolphin.
Who is John York?
John York's the That's the coach. That's incorrect. I don't think he can score a goal.
Oh, good.
And Drew.
Who is Bennett Bugby?
Oh, that's it. Dang it.
Bennett Bugby had 2 goals against Linfield, and we're knotted at the top with 4. Lacey right behind with 3.
Sorry, hey Kellen, where's that smack talk at now?
A couple questions.
It's right here.
A couple questions right left.
I'm right here.
This person also had a goal against Linfield. That was the Dolphin.
Who is Eddie Na?
Eddie Na. Very nice. Good answer. Kellen takes the lead again.
Doesn't count when it's the only person he knows on the team.
Well, anyway, you get it.
Being positive today,
anyway, you get it. This person scored 3 goals over the weekend. Lacey?
Michaela Grady.
Five, is it five?
She's talking under her breath over there. She said, I did my homework. All right, let's see here.
What's the count?
The count? Kellen 5, Lacey 4, Drew 4. We've got about 2-3 questions left. This person had an assist on Saturday and scored a goal on Sunday. Lacey?
Who is Kaylee Roselle?
Kaylee Roselle.
Wait, is dancing allowed?
Yeah, is there celebrations? Can we get fined?
Good answer. Lacey is now tied for the lead with Kellen.
Ooh.
Let's see. We got 2 questions left.
Unreal.
Okay, here we go.
2 questions overall?
Two questions left.
I get this one right, the next one would win.
Drew's got to win out. Lacey has to answer one. Kellen has to answer one. Here we go. This person had 11 kills, 12 Lacey? 3.
Isabel, I don't know her last name.
Last names don't count.
Isabel. Yeah, I know her first name.
It was Isabel Zubal.
That's a hard last name.
It's Isabel Zubrod.
Okay, well, I got
her
it right.
Name.
Lacey
and
got
now
it right.
I have 6, so.
Lacey has 6. She's in the lead.
I think a last name might need to be involved. Not because I lost
that's a hard
that
last
round.
Name.
Call into the show at 253-535-7332 to help me decide if we need last names next week. I'm going to count it this week. Lacey's in the lead.
Thank you.
6 Lacey, 5 for Kellen. And Drew cannot win with 4 points. There's 1 question
left. So last names aren't allowed, like, on this round?
You don't need to put a last name.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
They're allowed.
For today.
You just don't need to put them.
We might work on that next week. See, rules just come. This is organic. We're learning.
Sorry, that was miss. Sorry.
Time for Drew to wake up.
Me out. Sorry. All right, last question. 32 total digs. That's the elephant to spoil the game for Kellen.
What? Wait, Heine, did you see that?
Who is Kaylee Shiramizu?
And that is...
Ooh, so who wins the game?
Lacey wins the game.
Our final score, Lacey Nicholson.
Kellen, you can hand 6. Over that championship belt. Let me put it on real quick.
I really want to buy one now.
I don't want to be Cam Newton. I don't want to be a sore loser, but I think that the Dolphin was first. That was close. That was so close.
It was a very good round. Way to study this week, everybody. That was well done.
Christian had selective hearing on this round.
No, I didn't. No.
Can I just say I came back from being down significantly?
It was a come from behind victory.
Woody Whitworth?
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's
because Kellen went into prevent.
Let's take a break. All right, when we come back, we're going to preview POU football. They head to George Fox this weekend. Find out what we think about the game next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not. Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
I miss you. Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio, where we like to be gentlemen, where we like to let ladies win.
Whoa.
Whoa. Sports Talk presented by 3.5 athletes.
I'm not letting you get away with that. Time out. Whoa. She won fair and square. Don't be bitter. She bested the both of us.
Better luck next
time.
You see my red flag on the ground. I challenged that last call. Heine knows it's true. My mom knows it's true.
Good Lord.
All right,
folks, if you want to call into the show, please do so. For our sake, the number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this Saturday's football game. POU heads down to Newburgh, Oregon to take on George Fox. This game has great implications for the postseason for POU. What should we expect from it?
It's not going to be an easy game for either teams this weekend. The Bruins' offense is pretty solid. Their QB is exceptional at throwing and running the football. I was looking up his stats from when George Fox played Whitworth, and in that game alone, the Bruins quarterback Grant Schroeder was 20 of 41 for 318 yards. And to add to that, he led the team in rushing yards with 13 attempts for 151 yards total. So it sounds like he had quite the game against Whitworth. I don't expect that he will have the same game against the PLU defense, which is arguably one of the better defenses in the league. And as far as the Lutes offense, there's so many weapons to this offense. I think it's just going to be a matter of figuring out who to utilize in what point in the game.
You know, Christian, I think it's a must-win game.
That's
every game's a must-win game, but this game is a must-win game, or else the rest of the season really don't mean much except to the seniors. And I hate to say it like that, but the postseason hopes are over if they don't win this one. So I'd look for the Lutes to come out firing.
It's fair. Kellen, what do you think on your end?
Yeah, I mean, Drew, I mean, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, it has the potential to be tied with Linfield and Whitworth, with that being of the Northwest Conference game of the week. You know, Whitworth and Linfield are both 1-2 right now, so that's kind of in its own separate category. But I think us and George Fox are so similar. Whitworth only beat George Fox by 5, 28-23. And so you look at the game we just had against Whitworth, it has the implications of being a Donnybrook of a game. So it's going to be back and forth. Last year we only won by 1 point. And so this game, you know, could come down to the final drive just like it did last year. And kind of like Christian says, you know, teams that lose close games, they have receipts of those games, so they remember what happened. And so last year they lost by 1. I'm sure they're fired up, ready to get back at us. And so we have to come in to Newburgh, Oregon, being ready to, you know, basically accept everything that they throw at us. And like Lacey said, we got to attack them. We got to attack them offensively. We got to attack them defensively, because they are so volatile when it comes to throwing. And what is our weak spot in our defense? We play cover 3. So it's the flats, it's quick slants, and that's what they did against us last year. And so hopefully Craig McCord is dialing up a great defensive scheme, and I'm sure Heine can attest that he is learning from last week. And so I'm hoping that it'll be a different outcome than last week.
The George Fox defense isn't particularly intimidating. The Bruins are giving up 349.8 yards per game. 258 of those yards are coming by way of pass. What offensive players should we be looking out for?
I think after Kellen's incredible game against Whitworth, the Bruins are probably doing their homework on him and making sure that he doesn't have the same game against them. Having said that, I think it's important that other receivers are working to get open and taking advantage of the fact that Kellen might have some extra pressure on him. And also, you have to shout out to the quarterback position and make sure that whoever's at the quarterback, whether it be Schaub or Chandler, they're able to read the situation, read the play, and not be so single-minded. There's tons of guys on the receiving end of the ball, and I think it's important that we look for all of them.
Very nice. Drew, what do you think? Who should we look out for?
I think the John Schaub passing attack will be huge against the Bruins, and if this is the true quarterback system that Scott preaches, that Kellen talks about, that Christian has so far bought into, Schaub will play 3/4.
That's fair.
Of the 4.
That's
if
fair.
This is not a true two quarterback, if that doesn't happen, it's not a true two quarterback system. It's not. Because the George Fox team is tailor made for John to play majority of the minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's
fair. End of story.
That's fair. Kellen, who do you think is going to have a big day on Saturday?
I'm hoping that Mark Allant has a big day for the Lutes. Last year, if you guys remember, he scored on the first play from scrimmage. on a 72-yard screen pass. A screen pass, mind you. And again, he might not be the biggest guy out there, but he sure runs like it. He's only about 180 pounds, if that, if he's got his shoes on and all his clothes. But he's still yet to score a touchdown this season, which is interesting knowing how, you know, versatile he is on the field. So hopefully we can get him in the end zone this week. He's also been extremely special on special teams this year. He had a 47-yard kickoff return against the Pirates last week that set up the Lutes for amazing field position. That was the opening kickoff, mind you. And so I think Mark, you know, again, like I said, not very big, but it runs, in my opinion, as hard as any running back in the league, even as hard as Duke does for the Pirates. And so I think Mark is ready for a breakout game.
I like that. All right, final score and why.
I'm going to go PLU 28, Bruins 10. I think the defense is extremely hungry. I think they're ticked off. They're ticked off for greatness. They're very, very upset. They kind of feel like our two losses this year has come on them, the Trinity last drive of the game, as well as Whitworth. And as an offensive player, that is very false. We could have done a better job offensively and defensively. But I think we're going to be putting a lot of points on the board against the Bruins. And I think defensively, they're going to scheme the Bruins to perfection and only give up 10 points.
I'm going to say 27-17, Lutes come away with the win. I'd have to agree with that. I think the Bruins are going to struggle against the PLU defense, and I feel a couple interceptions coming this weekend.
A couple. She's going for two. All right, Drew, what do you think?
35-28, Lutes. Be a high-scoring affair because this game's going to last forever due to the amount both teams will be forced to put the ball in the air. So.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to take a look at our tough deal of the week, talk a little bit of strategy here. What should teams do when they're ahead? Find out next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.